Psalm 54 is titled to the chief musician with stringed instruments, a contemplation of David when the Ziphites went and said to Saul, "Is David not hiding with us? Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them." Selah. "Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies." The title of this psalm gives us some very helpful information in locating the experience David had when he composed this particular psalm. He says it's a contemplation he made when the Ziphites had gone and relayed to Saul where David was hiding. Treachery is the word that comes to mind to describe the actions of the Ziphites. What else can you call it? The Ziphites were a treacherous lot. In 1 Samuel 23, we read the incident where David was being pursued by Saul every day, the scriptures say. And it was the Ziphites who had gone and betrayed his location, his whereabouts, and invited Saul to come and apprehend this man. This was as dire as any situation David had experienced. At one point, David and his men were on one side of a mountain, while Saul and his men were on the other side of the mountain. The days were very tense, as both parties were eagerly anticipating how the events would unfold and what would be determined. But at the heart of the matter, David identifies that the Ziphites were seeking Saul's favor above God's favor. The Ziphites had turned on David and had instead decided to curry favor from Saul. Rather than protecting God's anointed, that is David, they betrayed him. Now it is an interesting contrast to the actions of the Ziphites. Jonathan met David just before this encounter and comforted him by reminding him that his father Saul would not find him and reminding him that he would be king one day over Israel. Then we have the encounter with the Ziphites and how they had turned on him. So in David's prayer, in these first three verses, he pleads that God would hear him and that he would save him. He doesn't ask for cunning in order to battle his enemies, but that God's strength and power would be manifest in his deliverance. He calls the Ziphites strangers and oppressors. We could see how the oppressor's name fits well enough. They had gone after David. They had gone after him by betraying his location so that he could be caught by Saul. But why does David call these men strangers? After all, they were Israelites. Their lot was near where David's lot was. Well, the answer, I think, is clear enough from what is spoken. They were strangers because they had not set God before them, is how he phrases it. They were unbelieving Israelites who were estranged from God despite any outward profession they might offer. They were eager for the favor of man and not that of God. In verse 4, David makes a bold confession and says, "God is my helper, and the Lord is with those who uphold my life." His confession has been and remains, "God is my helper." Notwithstanding the contriving of the Ziphites, David will not lose focus. Now, mind you, Saul is on his tail every day. And news comes that David must pack up and leave and flee to some other location. Until finally they're chasing each other around a mountain. There's a sharp contrast between David and his men and the Ziphites. David would not lose focus, even in his trouble, by praying simply for their destruction, but he includes in his prayer the confession that God is my helper, and I want God to deliver me by his strength and by his name. What concerned David utmost throughout this encounter was glorifying God. He knew that God would take care of him, but he didn't want to do it by his own hand. He wanted God's name to be magnified. David remains steadfast in his hope that this matter will be resolved somehow. He says, "The Lord is my helper." In verse 5, he changes the prayer a bit and says, "He will repay my enemies for their evil and cut them off in your truth." Now, David's prayer is sure and severe. He will not be daunted by the immediate prospects. Survival is bleak. He firmly says that my enemies will be repaid for what they have done. They will be cut off. And why does he say that? Because God has spoken. The matter is settled. He then turns in verse 6 to indicate how he will respond. He says, "I will freely sacrifice to you." Now, because of the certainty of this promise that God made to him, and because of the faith that was delivered to him by the Spirit, David can make the comment that he is free to sacrifice. Now, these statements stem from a genuine and heartfelt desire to worship, and not because of a bargain that was struck in a foxhole. David is free to worship God because there's nothing else upon which he will rest. He wants to see God's strength and his honor magnified. Since God is good and he is faithful, he is worthy of worship. David is free to praise. He is free to worship. He is free to sacrifice, all because God is good. In verse 7, he says, "He has delivered me out of all of my trouble." He's already seeing the deliverance that God has promised. So confident is David in this eventual deliverance that he looks past the treachery of the Ziphites and the vexation of Saul directly to God's promise of victory. He says, "My eye has seen its desire upon my enemies." Now, mind you, he's being chased around a mountain when he's saying this. "But my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies." Does this remind you of anyone else? Can you think of anyone else in Scripture who was betrayed by his countrymen, who sought for his life, who wanted to have him killed? What did Jesus Christ see when he was betrayed by his own countrymen and handed over to the Romans for death? Well, I'll tell you three things that he saw. The first was joy. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He saw the goodness of God in bringing deliverance to his people. He saw the goodness of God in this sacrifice that he was about to offer. He knew God would redeem a people for himself. Secondly, he saw the glory of God. He prayed that God's name would be glorified, and he prayed that he would be the one to glorify it. He knew that in redeeming for himself a people, that God's name would be glorified forever. And thirdly, he saw the wicked and their end. Just as David was able to see that the plans of the Ziphites would come to nothing, Christ sees the destruction of the Ziphites of his day, the Jews and the conspirators who sought to bring his life to an end. But he also saw the final destruction of the wicked. He could see this clearly as well, because by bringing salvation to some, he knew he was sealing doom for others. When Christ saw all these things, he freely sacrificed. Now that we are really free, let us worship him as David did. Let us pray.